So I just want to start with your reaction to the president's announcement a little earlier.
Well, the president shows once again his disdain for the rule of law and the Constitution of the United States, because in declaring a national emergency for which there is no precedent like the one he's trying to use this for, he in fact violates the Constitution. It is Congress that has the power to determine how much money will be appropriated and for what purposes it will be appropriated for, not to then be used by the President of the United States in any way that he wants. And this would fundamentally alter the nature of our Constitution and our checks and balances in our system. So it's extremely dangerous. And secondly, it's just not based on fact. You know, the only emergencies that have taken place, national emergencies that presidents have declared, there have been approximately 80 of them over the last several decades, have either been in the military context and or a natural disaster. This falls under neither of those two categories, and it's an affront to the Constitution, it's an affront to the rule of law, and it will be challenged in the courts.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if you got a chance to see Pelosi and Schumer's statement, but they think they kind of echo what you just said, and they called it a power grab, and he's gone outside the bounds of the law to try and get what he failed to achieve. So you expect, and I'm sure as Schumer and Pelosi do, that Congress is going to fight this and take it through the courts, right?
Well, I don't think Congress has a choice but then to fight it legally and take it to the courts. Because if the president can do this now, he will do it time and time again, violate the Constitution, violate the rule of law, and if it goes unchallenged, it will be a precedent that will exist for future presidents to do the same if they so choose. So we have a president who is creating facts, alternative facts, in order to justify a national emergency that doesn't exist. A president who is willing to, you know, go beyond even what his Republican supporters in the Congress were not willing to do. They were not willing to give him $5 billion or more dollars to build a wall. They haven't been willing to give it to him for 2 years that they were in total control of the Congress. And the American people in the last election made it very clear by how they cast their votes and who they elected that, you know, they weren't going to pay for a wall that Mexico was supposed to pay. So, yes, it has to be contested if we are to preserve the Constitution, the rule of law, and not create a precedent for the future.
And one of the big reasons that he wants the wall is obviously he says he wants to stop crime, drugs, human trafficking. But the wall, in your opinion, is not going to put an end to that? I mean, what's your response to Trump's claims that, you know, this is coming over?
Well, the reality is that a wall in and of itself is not going to do everything the president suggests. Number one is when he talks about drugs overwhelmingly from our federal law enforcement agencies, they cite that the drugs are coming over through ports of entry. These are supervised ports of entry. These are ports of entry where we have our customs people and other people examining who is coming in, what vehicles are coming in, and yet drugs are coming through those ports of entry. A wall's not going to change that. We're still going to have commerce with Mexico, the second largest trading partner of the United States in the world. Secondly, he keeps using false facts. You know, he said that El Paso, the crime went down once the wall got built. Well, crime went down in El Paso well before the wall was built, and even the mayor of El Paso says that, and as do others as well. So the statistics show. So the bottom line is the president made a campaign promise that he wants to keep to his base. But it is not rooted in fact, and it is not rooted in what's the best security methods of the United States. And he couldn't even get his own party to buy into it for the 2 years that they controlled everything in the Congress.
Absolutely. And I know you're busy, so I'll let you go on this. Just from seeing everything unfold between Trump and obviously the Democrats, I mean, where do you stand on just where the state of the country is now? There is such a rift between the two parties and the president and where everything is. What's your take on where everything is playing out right now?
Well, look, the reality is that, you know, there can be bipartisan successes. We just saw it in the major lands bill that was passed that is going to preserve hundreds of acres for the next generation of Americans across our nation and to fuel the Land and Water Conservation Fund, important to states including ours in our region. That was passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The budget that was passed by the Senate overwhelmingly had 80-plus votes in the Senate, 300 votes in the House of Representatives. That represents bipartisan agreements to keep the government open and to fund it at the appropriate levels. So it's the president who uniquely continues to be an affront to the efforts for bipartisanship. And I think the American people need to recognize who stands in the way of making progress in our nation on a bipartisan basis. That's called President Trump.